sources of unceasing flow of blessings. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace, no peace. This wicked here is not talking about armed robbers and kidnappers and ritual killers. He's talking about the children of God. Why does he refer to you as wicked? If this God is your father, anytime you put his name to shame, he is pained. And that's why he rejoices when you repent. Ever waiting for you to repent. What does he do? He removes the joy of your salvation. There is the joy of salvation. No joy of salvation. It takes away peace from you once you leave where he has placed you. Once you leave his presence. First thing, evidence that you are a seed of God. If you are not a seed of God, you will prosper. But if you are a true son, the spirit of sonship dictates that he will do something for you to come back to him. No joy of salvation when you are out of the will of God, out of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. What is righteousness? A right standing before God. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not the type of joy that comes before you have won a contract, because you have received one particular blessing. No, no, those are momentary. Those joys, they are only tied to that blessing. But whether you have or not, there is a peace, there is a joy that you have. That is evidence you are in God's kingdom. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can hurt you if you remain where God places you. Somebody, repent. Come back to the word of God. Let the word of God guide you in all your life. Our home is God's righteousness. The only place that God will meet with anybody now is if you are in Christ. If you get out of Christ, you are on your own. You catch this, you will not know why you miss your blessings. Why you live a struggling life. Until you catch the need for you to come back home. Come back to the word of God. Come back to the leadership of your life by Christ himself. Allow God to lead you. Acknowledge him. Come back home like the prodigal son. And the interesting thing is, if you repent, he's ready to receive you. No witch, no wizard can stop God's flow of blessing in my life. When I am where God has kept me, if God be for us, who will be against us? But how can God fight for you when he's fighting with you? Sources of unceasing flow of blessings. Praise the Lord. In your calling, even concerning your marriage, even in the church you worship, make sure. Even where you live, even where you live, sometimes God does not want you to live in that area you are living. All of you that want to struggle to go overseas, sometimes God expects to meet you in Nigeria, in your country. You are entering desert. It's true. Stay in God's word. When you stay in God's word, you will find your location. That's why he says, let's read some scriptures now. John chapter 15, verse 4 up to verse 11. Hear what he says. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You cannot bear any fruit unless you abide in him. And to abide in him is to abide in his word. Verse 5. I am the vine. You see? Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, see how he will look like. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, it is only then ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, that you should prosper. That is what it means. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And that is what you see in Joshua chapter 1. The importance of abiding in God's word. And verse 1 up to verse 9. As Joshua took over the mantle from Moses. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He was a disciple of Moses. Saying what? Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan. I hope you know this is his calling. This is his calling now. Thou and all these people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Listen. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coasts. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. You see the blessing? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, see the condition, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Hallelujah. This book of the law. Lift up the book, let me see. Lift it up, let me see. This is the book of the law of Christ. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. You see where the knowledge comes? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all, not some, all that is written therein. This is what the prosperity is. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Can you now see why in the battle of Ai they were defeated? Some people died. They ran for their life. So he had to know, no, this is contrary to the word of God. This is contrary to his promise for us. When you are anywhere and you are seeing the promises of God not coming to pass, look inward. Look inward. Is there any part of the word of God I am breaking? Is there anything I am doing wrong? So that you too can repent. Before you know what, Achan had brought a Babylonian garment to their camp, contrary to the commandment of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you go to chapter 28, Deuteronomy, from verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, that is the condition. If thou shalt hearken diligently, he's a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which are commanded this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And he listed all those blessings up to verse 14. But if you refuse to hearken unto the word of the Lord, then curses will follow. He listed all the curses from verse 15 up to verse 68. Blessings if you obey. Curses if you disobey. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16. What did he say? He said, he that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. But he that despiseth his ways, what will happen? He shall die. I read it again. He that keepeth the commandment of God, the word of God, you are keeping your own soul. It's for your own good. But if you despise God's ways, you will die. You will suffer. Verse 23. It said, the fear of the Lord, what does it tend to? It tended to life. And he that hath that fear, it shall abide satisfied. If you had that fear, you shall abide satisfied. It shall not be visited with evil. The words of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Israel will commit offense, and God will scatter them, allow the enemy to come and scatter them. And he will hang his blessings until they come back to the land of Israel. No, God does not bring the revival for Israel at all. The only thing you will hear God do is to go and send his fishers and send his hunters to make wherever they are uncomfortable so that their mind can get back home. And when they come back to their land of promise, it is then you see they will begin to establish their altars, go back to the temple, go back to proper worship and all the ordinances that he has set for them. Then fellowship will start again. Let any of these nations try to come to battle with them when he is back. Then he will show them that he is God indeed. And the church, spiritual Israel, until we are properly restored, until the church is totally restored, before revival can come. The church was scattered at Nicaea. The fulfillment of that parable in Matthew 13 verse 33. It scattered it and went into the dark ages until the later part of the 15th century, God began the process of the restoration with that shout ministry. The restoration ministry. He started bringing them little by little, restoring all that was lost until 1906, when in Azusa Street, he now came down among his people for the revival of the church that was dead. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 57 and verse 21. Isaiah 48 also, verse 22. He said, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace, no peace. This wicked here is not talking about armed robbers and kidnappers and ritual killers. He's talking about the children of God. Why does he refer to you as wicked? Imagine what that, the father of that prodigal son, imagine how he felt when his son left him. He was pained in his heart, no peace. And it is only a wicked child that will do that. And you will never have peace. Praise God. If this God is your father, if he is your father, if he is your father, oh, glory be to God. Amen. Anytime you put his name to shame, he is pained. And that's why he rejoices when you repent. Ever waiting for you to repent. Praise the Lord. So he, what does he do? He removes the joy of your salvation. That's what David was in that prayer in Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. There is the joy of salvation. Hallelujah. Do you know what is salvation? Salvation is from the word salvage. Something that is discarded is useless. Something that is no more useful, useless. Then you are picked. When you pick that thing and rearrange it, you are salvaging it. That was our estate. When he reached down his hands for me, the songwriter, when you reached down his hands for me, he said, I was lost and undone, without God nor his son. When he reached down his hands for me, another songwriter says, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stand. A rock, not sand again. He put a song in my mouth to sing. Oh, it's a song of praise. Song of it's a praise. Song of praise. Hallelujah. That's the meaning of salvation. Many people don't know how to appreciate God because you don't want to look back to who you were before. But those who wrote all those songs are people who have had relationship with God. They knew where they were before and what they are now. He says, Ebenezer, see how far you have brought me. It's looking back now to see something. See how far you have brought me. He looked at where he was before. He looked at who he was before. He looked at his estate in the past. If it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? All these songs came from deep meditation of those who have now repented. Praise the Lord. No joy of salvation. He takes away peace from you once you leave where he has placed you. Once you leave his presence. The first thing, evidence that you are a seed of God. If you are not a seed of God, you will prosper. But if you are a true son, the spirit of sonship dictates that he will do something for you to come back to him. Listen, I hope you know I'm not preaching church. I'm not among the pastors that will preach, say, if you leave Bride Assembly, you are out of the will of God. No, some of you are here by mistake. Some of you, this is not where you belong. Oh. Even the ministers, think very well before you begin to serve here. Oh, because sometimes you are just wasting your time here. You will be better somewhere else in line with what you believe. I'm preaching something that will help you even if you leave this place and find where you are supposed to be. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, let me control my mouth today. No joy of salvation when you are out of the will of God, out of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. What is righteousness? A right standing before God. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not the type of peace, not the type of joy that comes because you have won a contract, because you have received one particular blessing. No, no, those are momentary. Those joys, they are only tied to that blessing. But whether you have or not, there is a peace, there is a joy that you have. That is evidence you are in God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stay in God's perfect will. That's why when he was teaching the disciples how to see, how to pray, one of the things in that, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, not my will, O Lord. If it is possible, let this cup, this wahala that is I'm seeing, so this serious wahala of going to the cross, nevertheless, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, oh, but thy will be done. And I have preached about the will of God, and that the will of God can sometimes be very awkward, but it is the will of God. But he gives you grace to go through it. That is the evidence. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Our Father is our master. He call us, wait on him. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 12, 13, and 14. Psalm 92. The righteous, when you remain in God's kingdom, remain in his word, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, flourish, flourish. The house of the Lord is the will of God, the word of God, shall flourish in the courts of our God. And verse 14, hallelujah. They that be planted shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Even in their old age, they will bring forth fruit. Fruit here is both fruit of the womb, both fruit of your labor, health. Praise Master Jesus. Hallelujah. That is why I said earlier, nothing, nothing can hurt you. Nothing can hurt you if you remain where God places you. Nothing. Come back home is the first point. Somebody, repent. Come back to the word of God. Let the word of God guide you in all your life. Our home is God's righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Romans chapter 10. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, like so many believers today. But this zeal is not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Before I read verse 4, I watched them. They celebrated the feast. Which feast did they celebrate two weeks ago? Praise the Lord. And I watched them. They are still putting those their dresses on. And then they are still holding their Torah. And then they are saying, oh, God has left all that form of worship 2,000 years ago. But his covenant cannot be broken. He's still gathering them. And they are coming, and you are seeing some people saying they are rabbis. And blind the Christians. Some people are looking at them as authority in the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion is now Christianity. Is somebody understanding me? The Jewish religion is now Christianity. It's now a new covenant. It's now a new covenant. Oh, praise God. Oh, verse 4. For Christ is the end of that law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of that law. For Moses described his righteousness, which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And you cannot live by them. You failed. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Israel's only place. Why that they don't know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness? They have no such knowledge. That's why I say get knowledge. Although in their own case, we know the mystery. God blinded them. Eh? Hallelujah. And brought the gospel to us. Romans chapter 11 verse 25. Blindness in part has come upon Israel. Until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We know that. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Unknown to them, any sacrifice, anybody, including the Jews, the rabbis, whoever they are, any sacrifice that will be accepted before God, that's why they cannot have fellowship with God. What is happening now is a fulfillment of a covenant that God had with Abraham. That's why you see all the nonsense going on now in Israel. There are gay rights movement in Israel. There are striptease club that they dance naked in Israel. If you see what the politicians are doing there, you just know that God did not ordain Israel to choose their leaders by political parties. God ordained to lead them by a prophet. And when they turned down, what he gave them was a king. And he selected them by himself. And for the purpose of worship, he did not appoint any politician. He appointed the priesthood. There was a high priest. But unknown to them, all these we are fulfilled in Christ. He's the end of the law for righteousness. How? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Israel, the only place of offering your sacrifice under the law was according to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10 up to verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, Israel, listen. Then, there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your heave offerings, the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. Verse 12. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants, and the Levites that is within your gates, for as much as he has no part no inheritance with you. Verse 13. Take heed to yourself, hear the law, that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Verse 14. My emphasis. But the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Therefore, where is God's chosen place of worship? Bride Assembly Church? Redeem? Catholic Church? Choosing? Winners? Baptist? Anglican? Assemblies of God? Where is God's chosen place of worship? How do you know? There, where he has chosen to place his name there. I have preached that message, God's chosen place of worship. Go and look for it and listen to it. Where is his place of worship? Let me just summarize it. Hebrews chapter 10. That is where it is. Verse 5 to verse 9. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wilt not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou willest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. There is the first place that he has ordained where he will meet with his people. And that is the reason why when they leave Jerusalem, praise the Lord, when they leave Jerusalem, they have left a place where God will meet with them. Why? Because as they left the wilderness, oh, glory be to God. Amen. When I finish this, that is the next sermon I'm taking about the ark of God. Amen. Jesus, as he gave them the ark in the wilderness, the ark of God is God's dwelling place. That is where he put his name there. Three things were inside that ark. The first thing that was there, hallelujah. What was the first thing? Was the manna, evidence. The bread, the manna that fell. The second one was the table of the tablet of stone where the law, Moses received the law. The third one was Aaron's rod that budded. Each of them was speaking something about Christ. When we get to that, when I'll be preaching that message, you understand that Christ now became the temple of God. Because that's where the glory now dwell. And that is why he placed his name in that body that he prepared for himself. God's chosen of place of worship now is in Christ Jesus. It's no more in any building made by hand. A body have you prepared me. No more a physical ark anywhere. That's why they are busy looking for the ark everywhere because they want to build a temple. The temple that is coming, the ark himself, ark of God, will come down from heaven and dwell there and reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People don't know it. But when Israel will receive their revival, they will know who the ark of the Lord is. It is the tabernacle of God. It is Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say this because the only way you can have unceasing flow of God's blessing is if he will meet you where he has put his name, where that temple that he has built, where he comes to fellowship with man, and that temple is the body of Jesus Christ. The only place that God will meet with anybody now is if you are in Christ. If you get out of Christ, you are on your own. The blessings will cease. You must catch that. That's why Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, he said, in word or in deed, whatever you do, do all. Where? In Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do that will be accepted by Christ, you must do it only in him. You must be in him. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the one in charge of this construction of that body of Christ called the church. And until you catch this, you will not know why you miss your blessings, why you live a struggling life. Until you catch the need for you to come back home, come back to the word of God, come back to the leadership of your life by Christ himself. Allow God to lead you. Acknowledge him. Come back home like the prodigal son. And the interesting thing is, if you repent, he's ready to receive you. Interesting, he's waiting for it. That is the interesting thing. He's waiting for it. If somebody can just sit down again and take a look at their life, you will soon discover that you are the architect of your problem. It's not any witch in a village. See, no witch, no wizard can stop God's flow of blessing in my life. When I am where God has kept me, what are you saying? If God be for us, who will be against us? But how can God fight for you when he's fighting with you? That is the problem we have. Oh, hallelujah. If you ever have to do dry fasting before you receive anything from God, you are only living under God's mercy. You are not under the flow of blessing of sonship. If you ever have, before anything, you receive any blessing, any breakthrough, you have to fast for it. There is something wrong in your relationship with your heavenly Father. He said, just ask. If you notice, there is no commandment about fasting in the New Testament. No commandment. There is only the thought of how to fast. The reason is, fasting is part of our Christian life. Why? Because fasting will tame this flesh that brings you down and disfellowship you easily. Apostle Paul said he puts his body under. He was fasting regularly. The purpose of fasting is not so that I will receive an expectation, so that I will receive deliverance from this back pain, from this demon husband. No, it's so that I will live a life pleasing before my God. Because there's a promise, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. If I know this scripture, then am I going to face midnight prayers, fasting and prayer, or I will face my God and see how I can live a life pleasing before him? That's why people miss it. And some people want to make themselves look like some giant, spiritual giants. I am untouchable because I go to the mountain. I have told you, God's place of meeting with us is not in any church building, and it's no more in the mountain. Listen very well. Hey, listen very well. Church, listen very well. Our God is not on a mountain. He was in the mountain in the days of Moses. He was in the mountain in the days of Moses. And when he appeared, the people were afraid. Let me show you. Deuteronomy 18. Let me read it from verse 14. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, for as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God, in Horeb. Horeb, there is Mount Horeb. In the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now listen, let me break it down. In Mount Horeb, God told Moses to bring the children of Israel. He wants to speak to them. But when the glory of God, the presence of God appeared, they were so scared, so afraid. They told Moses, let him be talking to you, to us through you. We don't want him to come again because of what they went through at his presence as he appeared. Nobody sees God and lives. The Bible says so. So, he said, according to that their desire, therefore, only me that you're hearing me. He decided that he will now raise a prophet like Moses. You cannot hear from me directly, but this is what I will do now, be talking to you. That is what produced Christ. You want to meet with God? Go to Jesus Christ. That is whom he has sealed. Since that day, man said they cannot see God and live. They cannot. Sinful man, you can't see God. All the one, what will they see? They are just his angels. All the one will they see? They are just his similitude. All the one will they see? Hallelujah. We are only seeing a form to be able to relate with us. But where the word of the Lord comes now is through Jesus. Who is Jesus? Because the fullness of the Godhead dwell in him bodily. He said he received not the spirit by measure. Fullness. That's why he is called Emmanuel. Glory be to God. That is the only place he will meet with you. If you catch this revelation, then you will be studying the New Testament very well to hear what Jesus Christ is saying. Because when you hear him, those things that are written in the Bible, they are God in written form. And every word there, he watches over it to perform it. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word abided forever. And the word that proceeded from his mouth shall not fall to the ground void. It will accomplish that which has sent it to do. And that is why I hold to this Bible very well. I studied this Bible not because I want to come and preach, so that I will know how to walk with him. For anybody to think that your spiritual life gets better, God will be happy with you because you do dry fasting. I have seen you. Fasting is compulsory. Fasting is compulsory. In fact, and I fast regularly. When I told Brother Olumi, yesterday or the day before yesterday, I said, last year I fasted for 7 months. From January to the end of July, you can ask my wife. And it's no big deal. Why were you fasting? I was not asking for anything. I just want to be right with God. I don't feel this flesh needs to be tamed more. And I didn't say I was going to fast for 7 months. I just decided on the 1st of January, I told my wife, I want to sort out some things. This flesh is getting on the way. Before I know, 1 month finished, 2 months finished, I was not satisfied. So I will continue. For 7 months. So I'm not against fasting. I want you to understand me. But I have never fasted so that God will answer a particular prayer. No, lie, lie. And when I fast, amen. Praise the Lord. Because I know the scriptures. I know the scriptures. I make sure I do a fasting that will truly bring God down and consider my estate. I was sharing something with my wife. I withdrew. I've been in an enclosure since Monday, in fasting and in prayer. Suddenly, there's one of my coursemates in the military that disturbs me too much. Send me money. I need money for this. I need money for that. So I don't tire. All our mates don't block his number. So me, I block him for WhatsApp. I don't know, say he get one other number where you go get me. He still sent me text. While I was in that fasting period, I saw that text. He said I should send him 7,000 naira. 7,500 naira to buy his drug for hypertension or something like that. I said, this man again. He sent it before. I block him because I'm always sending money to him. All of a sudden, it occurred to me. A scripture that says, he that stoppeth his ear to the cry of the poor, he himself will cry and he will not be heard. I said, now pray, I can't pray now, and I want God to answer my prayer. See temptation. I said, you're not going to succeed, even a trial. I said, I will send him more than he asked, and I will tell him, God, Father, you see, he asked for 7,500. I'm sending 25,000 naira to him now. I'm sending 25,000 naira. I took my phone and I sent it to him. And peace came upon me. And God gave me a sign that he accepted it. On Friday, somebody came here. One online member just came here for prayers or something like that. And then, before I know what, he sent a message to me. He sent 500,000 naira to my account. That's why I told you, I said, this is a principle. It works. It works. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It works. I sent 25,000 naira. I received 500,000 naira. It's a sign. I see it as a sign. Praise the Lord. When we teach these things, I'm saying it for your benefit. I have confirmed that the word of God is true. That's just one. I said there are four. We will continue the next one next service. Shall we stand up? Hymn number 69. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. It's a prayer. everybody now.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth.
It's a prayer.
Thou hast for me placed in my hands the wonderful key that shall of clouds and set me free.
Now.
Oh, silently now I wait. Open my ears that I may hear a voice of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wind don't fall on my ears,
oh, and everything falls.
Speak.